All right, God bless everyone. I think you kind of got the idea that the title of this teaching is Great is Thy Faithfulness. I love the words in that song because there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. I mean, you can just think about that for a long time. And I'm going to encourage everyone to meditate on some of these verses that I'm going to share today, because I think this topic is something that is really needed in our day and time, and not just, I feel it very personally needed also, and that's why I wanted to share this. So we're going to open up in Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. God is the faithful God, and He is something. Everything that He is something that we can count on. So let's read this from the ESV. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He's like the mighty God. He's El, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. I was thinking about that. Thinking back to, you know, from Adam on, there's been generation after generation after generation. God has stayed faithful to His people when He first called Abraham. And from that point on, He's been so faithful to keep His covenant with His people. So the basic idea of faithfulness is there's a certainty or a firmness. I thought about like the strong arms of a parent holding an infant, or even a young child. The young child has complete confidence that their parent's not going to drop them or let go of them. Also, another analogy would be a pillar of support. And I was thinking about the giant Roman columns like on the buildings like the Acropolis. Those columns have stood there for thousands of years holding up that building. So that's the idea of faithfulness, is that there's a certainty about it. I was reading something I just want to quote to you. It's by a guy named Richardson. He has a theological word book of the Bible. And sometimes it gets kind of wordy, but this quote is really wonderful. The core of this Hebrew concept is firmness, reliability, or steadfastness. To believe is to hold on to something firmly with conviction and confidence. It is implied that steadfastness is thought in the object believed, and in laying hold of the object, the believer himself will become steadfast. That's kind of how I want to present this today. We're not only talking about how God is faithful, but that because God is faithful, we can be faithful. We believe in a person because we have a relationship with this God who is faithful. There's a record, we're not going to read it, but about Moses, how Moses was faithful in all his house. And right next to that, it talks about how he spoke with God mouth to mouth. His response of faithfulness was to the fact that God was faithful. Another example is Jehoshaphat. And we can't read the whole record of this either, but when Jehoshaphat first became king, he really encouraged the people to turn back to the Lord. He went up and down the whole country encouraging people to give up their idols and turn their hearts back to God. And if you want to look up 2 Chronicles 19, and we're going to read verse 9. It says, and he charged them, thus you shall do in the fear of the Lord, in faithfulness and with your whole heart. So we're talking about other us being faithful, then it's with your whole heart. And there's a conviction, a confidence, steadfastness, all those things we were just talking about. Then, you know, what happened to Jehoshaphat later in his reign was the countries of Moab and Ammon sent out a whole giant army to go against them. And one of the first things that Jehoshaphat does is he goes to God in prayer. And then he seeks for wisdom. And finally, God just tells him that you should just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I want to read verse 20 of 2 Chronicles, because this is an interesting use of the word, and it shows how to be faithful. And they rose up early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And if you can recall the record, Jehoshaphat sends the praisers and singers out in front of them. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." So the words "believe" there and "established" are actually the same verb. He's telling them, you do the believing, and then what will happen in your heart is that you will be established. And that's what happened to them, was because by the time they got to the point of where the ambush was going to be, God had actually ambushed the people, and they turned on each other and killed each other off. So by the time they saw the end of the battle there, everyone was killed, and they got to pick up all the spoils. I think it says it was 3 days and just picking up the spoils. So there's a lot to be learned, I think, here about faithfulness. And if we kind of turn the idea of having faith, which seems to always come back to me, you know, how much faith do I have? And instead of saying it like that, to just say, okay, I want to be faithful. I want to be established. I want to be full of faith. So that's one of the main points I want to get across today, is that a faithful one is one who is established. Now I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 7 and then verse 9. And we're just going to read the last part of the verse. This is still from the ESV. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. And that's the same way that the words were used. Like, if you do not believe, you will not be established. Another version says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And so our job is to stand firm on God's faithfulness. And the more we meditate on how God is faithful to his word, he's faithful to his promises, he keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him, then having belief and trust in him will not be hard. So I'm just going to bring up a few keys to how to be faithful. And the first one is to put on his faithfulness like armor. And that reminded me about in the verse in Isaiah about standing firm. That's in the armor of God section in Ephesians 6, verse 13. Because of this, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to engage the evil one, and being prepared in everything, you will stand firm. Therefore, stand and gird up your waist with truthfulness. Which that word in Aramaic means faithfulness. The very first piece of the armor is that we are to wrap around our waist God's faithfulness. And I found another verse which basically says the same thing. It's in the Old Testament, Peshitta, Aramaic, and it's from Psalm 91, which has always been a favorite psalm of mine anyway, but verse 4, this is what the Aramaic says. The King James says, under his wings you will abide, and then his truth shall be your shield and buckler. And the word truth there can also mean faithfulness. But listen to this. It's so beautiful. With his feathers, he will deliver you, and under his wings, you will be concealed. As armor, his faithfulness will surround you. His faithfulness will surround you as armor, just like the armor of God. It will surround you and not only protect you, but it says he will deliver you. So what is it we need deliverance from? That's where we have a faithful God who can establish us and protect us. Like his faithfulness can be like armor. The second thing I wanted to bring up is because that first piece of the armor goes against the evil one's the power of his words, and how so many times his words just sink into our heart and we believe his words rather than God's words. So another key to being faithful is to recognize the evil one's lies and then refuse to listen to them or to refute them. Oh, you can think of a ton of examples of that, but some of them are like, you are not good enough, you're too weak, you can't stand up to the devil. How do you think that you can stand firm? You're a hypocrite. And then also about things that are going on outside of you, like, these are dark days, you're going to lose everything, the country's going to fall apart. I mean, there are just so many words swirling around right now that it's really important that we separate out the faithful words of God versus the lies of the evil one. Another key to being faithful is to praise God's name, like his name. And this is a familiar verse in Psalm 138, verse 2. The King James says, he's magnified his word above all, above your name. And, but I want to read the New Living Translation. It says, I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I praise your name, for your unfailing love and faithfulness. For your promises are backed up by all the honor of your name. Even if in the King James, he has magnified his word above his name. It's not really above his name because God is the word and it's equal to his name. But according to the weight or the honor of your name, his words, his promises are backed up by all the weight of his name, of his character. And that is how we can praise him for his faithfulness, because he backs up everything with the full weight of who he is. He's the mighty God. He's the faithful God. He keeps covenant and mercy. He loves those who love him. So I read this really interesting line here in a book just this past week. And I thought it was a great way to be able to separate the difference between thanksgiving and praise. It says, thanksgiving is our response to God's works or actions in our lives. But praise is our response to his nature or character. Even the word praise, I think I've taught it a number of times before about it means to confess. Or you stretch out your hand. It's like you're praising God for his character. So I wanted to read a psalm that actually does this, and it's Psalm 89 and verse 1. We're going back to the ESV here. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever with my mouth. See, speaking it out loud too. I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. When we look up at the sky, I love the sharing that Sal did, because he's talking about how the heavens declare the knowledge of God. They declare his faithfulness, and they declare what's going to happen also. Verse 3, you have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. And then we're supposed to pause there, Selah. Like, that was a promise that God made to David, that his throne would be established for all generations. And if you go back to the idea of, see, your promises are backed up by all the honor of his name. God will, with everything he is, his entire being, he will establish that promise to David, his servant. And we're going to see it. It's part of our hope. It's so, so cool. All right, let's just go on here. Verse 5. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the Holy One. Not only do the heavens praise your wonders, but we can praise with our mouth in the assembly of the saints, all about God's faithfulness. And then here's a series of questions. 4, who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord, a God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all who are around him? You see how they're questions? This is a figure of speech called erotesis, where they're questions to ponder. And that's why I said at the beginning that things to really meditate on. And when you ask a question like that, who in the skies or who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? You have to pause and think, what is the answer? Well, no one can be compared to him. Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? No one. It's like Romans 8, you know. If God be for us, who can be against us? No one. And then this passage ends with verse 8. It's so really powerful verse, and it's also another question. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you? It's a great picture. God's faithfulness surrounds him, and then as armor, it surrounds us. And that's why we can praise. It reminded me of that verse in Hebrews, which we don't have to turn to, but it's Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And there's just a couple more things I want to share. I think another key to being faithful and developing more faithfulness in our lives is to learn how to rest and to rest in God. And this kind of rest is a very full trust in God's word and his promises. It's a place where we can be settled and have the same kind of steadfastness and continued confidence that God is with us and that he cannot fail and he's not going to fail. Recently I was teaching about Deborah, and in the record with Deborah and Barak in the battle, against Sisera and the Canaanite king. When it's time to go to the battle, she says another question like this. It's like, does not the Lord go before you? And then when the Lord goes before them, they win the battle without doing anything. There's another great verse in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. It says, God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says. This is also the NLT. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says. Stop. Think about that for a minute. He is faithful to do what he says. And he has invited you into partnership or fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I was thinking about the secret place. You know, you don't have to go into your room and lock the door and shut the door and have it be in a closet in order to go in the secret place. The secret place can be anytime, anywhere, where we just go into God's presence and access his presence, just like Moses did, where speak mouth to mouth with them. Share your heart. Ask for wisdom. And that kind of leads me into the last thing I wanted to just point out, is that God's faithfulness is like a path, and he can show us that path, and he can show us how to do all these things, like how to resist, how to praise, how to rest. If we will just allow God to show us the path. And that is in Psalm 25 and in verse 5. I'll read the King James first. It says, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. That's what King James says, but the word truth there, it's kind of obscured. It's like, lead me in your truth. But that word truth is faithfulness. Lead me with your faithfulness and teach me. Lead me because you are faithful and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. So if we can learn to allow God to show us the path and lead us, then he will teach us and he will lead us with his faithfulness. And there's one last verse here, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. The Lord is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is faithful, who will keep you and rescue you from the evil one. So even the part about the armor, as armor, your faithfulness will surround me. God has given us the armor. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that Christ is part of our armor. So it's Christ's faithfulness that we have already that surrounds us. We have God's faithfulness and we have Christ's faithfulness that surround us. And that is the reason why we can be established and we can become more and more and more faithful until we have our last breath or until Christ returns. Let's do some praising this week and hold fast the confession of our hope, for he who promised is faithful. I think I'll close with prayer here. Father, we are so thankful, and we do praise your name. We praise you because you are the faithful God, and not only do you keep covenant with your people, as you called in the Old Testament, but you have been so faithful to us, too, all throughout this New Testament time with your believers. We want to sing and praise you for your steadfast love and make known your faithfulness to the coming generations if the Lord tarries. So help us, guide us, show us the path, and lead us in your faithfulness and have it surround us like armor. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.